I hope that you have a Bible. If you don't have your Bible out already, please turn to Mark chapter 6. Well, summer is here. At least the temperature outside feels like summer, doesn't it? But let's make summer count for Christ. It's easy when summer arrives. It's easy when summer arrives to feel like summer is going to kind of be a relaxed time. But I want to challenge us this morning to really make summer count in a big way. So whether you're spending the summer away in another country, or whether you're in and out of Hong Kong, or whether you're staying here every week doing what you normally do, let's make summer count for Christ's kingdom. In a way, let's not throw in the towel this summer, but let's throw out the nets. So if you have a Bible, let's look at Mark chapter 6. What I'm going to be encouraging you to do this morning is to be thinking outward this summer. Be thinking outward, not thinking about our own needs and our own life, but really trying to go the extra mile to really think about others and reaching out. We're going to call it Summer of Hope this morning. Let's pray. Almighty God, would you now take your word and let your word speak to our hearts. Turn our eyes this morning from worthless things and give us life in your ways. Empower us by your Spirit to think outward this summer. For your name's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's okay. I got it. So Jesus called the 12. Jesus called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them, don't take anything for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their wallets, but to wear sandals, but do not take two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and they proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. To be called by Jesus is to be sent by Jesus. To be called by Jesus, I mean called to follow Jesus, is to be sent out by Jesus. Many weeks ago, I'm sure you don't remember, but many weeks ago, we looked at Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, and what we saw was the most basic definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is to be with Jesus and to be sent out by Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, he said, he went up on the mountain and he called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 whom he named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. He calls us to himself. that we might be with Jesus. So a pretty simple life as a follower of Jesus. Spend a lot of time with Jesus and be sent out by Jesus. Spend a lot of time with Jesus. So if you were to take your life and make it very simple, you could say, spend time with Jesus, be sent out by Jesus. No Christian can say that they aren't sent out by Jesus. You are sent somewhere to bear witness to the truth of who Jesus is. If you're called, then you are sent. I want to mention a few things about this text today to give us some fuel for fire. I hope that we can pour some fuel this morning so that we can have fire in our souls, in our hearts, to be sent out. And then I want to lay out before us this morning a challenge for our summer so that we can go and share hope with our family members, our friends, our co-workers, and those around us. In the book of Mark, we have been seeing up until now, we've been seeing the glory of Jesus. We've seen Him teach with authority. We've seen Him heal people. We've seen Him have power over nature. We've seen Him have power over demons, power over disease, and power over death. And last week, we saw that He was rejected by many. The religious leaders said He was possessed by the devil before. His family said He was crazy. A town on the other side of the Sea of Galilee asked Him to leave town. His hometown of Nazareth, we saw last week, tried to push Him off a cliff before, and they were offended and embarrassed by Him in such a way that Jesus could not do anything in His hometown. They rejected Him. Some people believe in Jesus. Some people reject Jesus. Some people will believe what you have to say about Jesus, and some people will reject what you have to say. That's just how it is. Some will believe, and some will reject. We have to get used to that. When we're sent out by Jesus, some people are going to say, hey, that sounds good, I'm interested in that. And some people will say, whatever, I don't care about that at all. We have to get used to that, or else we'll be really torn to pieces. We'll be really shocked when people don't want to receive what we have to say. That's just normal. So Jesus sends them out this week in Mark chapter 6. He sends them out on this kind of short-term mission trip, this pre-mission, this training to go and do what later they will do full time after Jesus dies, after He's buried, after He's raised to life, and He ascends to heaven. So, let's take a look in detail at Mark chapter 6. As you see on the screen, He sends them out two by two. It's a little small. He sends them out two by two first. What can we gain from this fact that He sends them out two by two? It's pretty simple to me. We don't need to send anyone out on their own. People need to go out two by two. You're not strong enough to go out on your own. You need to go out in community. You need to go out with fellowship. You need to go out with accountability. So what I'm going to ask you to do this summer, you need to do with another person. Okay? Be better if you get another person to go out with you and to do this. Why? It's easy to be afraid if you're by yourself. It's easy to feel fear. It's easy to not be bold if you're by yourself. But the testimony of two or three witnesses is much better than the testimony of one. Notice Jesus also sends them out with authority. The authority of Jesus, He sends them out. Folks, we don't have any authority to go out on our own. On our own, we don't have any authority. We go out in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, so go therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, said, all authority has been given unto me. So we go in the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid of what people will do. They may kill us, and even if people kill us, that's no big deal, because we get to go live with Jesus forever. So Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I'm with you always. You know the Great Commission? Verse 18 is, all authority has been given unto me, so go. Verse 20 is, I'll be with you always. So we have nothing to fear. But we do fear, don't we? We do fear, don't we? So that's why we need to be reminded that we have the authority of Jesus. And if people reject us, guess what? They're rejecting Jesus. He sends them out totally dependent upon God. He sends them out totally dependent upon God. Even when we think we're not dependent upon God, we are very totally dependent upon God. So he said to them, don't rely on your stuff. Don't take money. Don't take food. God will provide for you. Don't wear two tunics. A tunic was basically like saying, don't take an extra layer of clothing, because you're not going to need to sleep outside. People would take an extra tunic so that they could sleep outside and stay warm. And Jesus said to them, don't take two tunics, because you're going to not sleep outside. I'm going to provide a house for you to stay in. So this total dependence upon God in every way. It's amazing to me that Jesus would send them out and say, don't take all this stuff. Is that how we do things? We go on mission trips, we take two suitcases full of everything that we need. We make sure we take our credit cards, make sure we take all of our money. But it's interesting to me that Jesus said, go dependent upon God for what you need. He sent them to homes. He sent them to homes. And he sent them to people that were already prepared by God. Think about the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, that he's going to say, there's going to be a place for you to sleep. There's going to be a home where someone's going to welcome you and they're going to give you food. There's going to be a place for you to lay your head down at night. You're not going to need money. Matthew shows us in his account in chapter 10 that they're going to walk into a town and there's going to be people there who are going to welcome them. A person of peace. And they're going to stay there until they depart. God has prepared a household for them who's going to receive them. Who has God prepared in your neighborhood? What about you? Who has God prepared in your neighborhood to hear the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God? Dare I say, God has prepared someone in your building, someone in your village, someone in your neighborhood that will receive. And there will be those who reject as well. Some will receive, some will reject. Some will not listen, and some will listen. And Jesus says to them, those who don't listen, take your shoes and dust them off as a testimony against them. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Take your shoes off and dust them off as a testimony. And in Matthew, he says, for it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities in the Old Testament that God destroyed on that day, than for this city. So if they go into a village and they proclaim the gospel and everybody says, no, I'm not going to listen, God says, dust off your shoes. I had a mentor in seminary, a lady who taught me how to teach English, and she went to a church one time in California, and she shared all of her heart very boldly about the need for people to go to China and teach English. And that church totally blew her off and did not listen to her. And she walked out of the foyer of the church and she took off her shoes and she dusted off her shoes on the way out the door. The bold lady. It is important for us to remember that when people reject the message of the gospel, they are not rejecting us. They're not rejecting us. You know why that's important for us to remember? Is because one of the reasons why we don't want to share with people is because we're afraid of rejection. But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting something much more important than us. They're rejecting God Almighty. And that's not funny in the least. We should weep when people reject God and His good news. He sent them out to proclaim repentance. Very simple. He sent them out to proclaim. Proclaim means to speak out, to preach, if you will. Not that I'm a Christian. So the message that we want to give to people is not, hey, I just want you guys to know that I'm a Christian. The message is that you need to accept Christ. Not, I have accepted Christ. That's not the primary message we need to tell people, is that, hey, I have accepted Christ. The primary message is, you need to accept Christ. That you need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. 1 Peter, we talked about this last summer, about this time actually. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. That's us, okay? That's Christians. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You got that? So we are to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but you have received mercy now. So let's do some proclaiming this summer. Let's share the excellencies of our God with other people this summer. Share the hope of Jesus with our family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter if you're leaving town this summer. If you're leaving town this summer, God still is sending you. So instead of you just in your mind going on vacation or in your mind going to another place, approach it from the perspective that God is sending you somewhere this summer. Where does He want to send you? And to whom is He sending you? Whether He's sending you for 3 months or whether He's sending you somewhere for a week. Or you're staying here this summer. Staying can mean sending. I'm staying here this summer. But God wants to send me somewhere this summer. So let's call it, if you will, summer of hope. A summer of hope. What does hope mean? Well, number one, the first one that we want to approach that I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm going to take this Jesus sending out the 12 to villages or two homes, and we're going to reverse it, if you will, and we're going to offer hospitality to people. So I'm challenging you, challenging myself, which let's admit, it's not easy to do. Offer hospitality to family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are unbelievers. So here's what I'm challenging you to do this summer. Simply invite, invest, and invite someone into your home, preferably your home, or out to dinner, or for coffee, blah, blah, blah. How you do it is entirely up to you. But to have someone into your home today is rare, but meaningful. When's the last time you had someone in your home for dinner? People enter the kingdom of God mostly not through the front door of a church. Most people do not enter the kingdom of God through the public front door of a church. Most people enter the kingdom of God through the side door of the church, the peer door, the friendship door. 80% of people who will ever come to a church will come to a church through a relationship with somebody else. And they'll come to Christ through a relationship with someone else. If we are expecting that people will come to the kingdom of God by just walking through the doors of that church, this church, we're kidding ourselves. It's going to be through relationship with you and with me. The front door of your home is the side door of the church. The front door of your home is the side door of the church. People who are opposed to going to church are not opposed to dinner. People who are opposed to the gospel of Jesus are not opposed to having coffee with you. So hospitality. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Number two, outreach. Oh, that God might empower all of us to be a church of outward focus. That we are always thinking outward. Because we're not just eating together. It's not inviting church members. So I want to say this real, real carefully. You will be tempted to invite people who are Christians. You will be tempted to invite church members to your house as part of this outreach focus. Don't do that. Outreach. Go to people who don't know Jesus and invite them. Go into the highways and the hedges and invite people who don't know Jesus. Outreach. Unchurched, neglected, sinners in your village, in your complex, or at your work. I would even say, go to the person that you think is the furthest away from God. Because bad people make good soil. They know they're in need of a Savior. Number three, purpose. There's purpose. We want them to come to know Jesus. We want them to find eternal life. We want them to be rescued from their sin. Not just dinner, not just coffee, but reaching out with a purpose. So what's the ultimate purpose? The ultimate purpose, besides that person's salvation, is glory to God. The angels rejoice. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Our God is magnified when people come to know Him. Hospitality. Outreach. For a purpose. Purpose is the exaltation of God. A summer of hope. So I'm challenging you. I'm challenging myself. Believe me. I'm not challenging you to do this and then I'm going to just decide to sit back and watch. This is something I've got to do as well, or I'm just a pure hypocrite. Let me give you some practical instructions to help you, okay? So I've told you what to do. Have people over to your house for dinner or coffee and just simply ask God to show up. It's that simple. Just simply ask God to show up. So here's what I want to ask you to do. Number one, pray in the lead up. Because apart from you, you can do nothing. Because I know you're scared and I'm scared and it's difficult to do, even to ask people over to your home. And then we're like, oh, is everything ready? Is everything look clean? Everything like that? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Are they going to reject me? Pray. Pray leading up to this, that God Almighty will work. Expect God to show up. Cameron Townsend, the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators, he said this, "We must do the possible." We must do the possible. God will do the impossible. Pray. Number two, pray for the meal. Yes, I'm asking you to pray out loud in front of another person. Pretty difficult, huh? How about this? Here's what you say. You can take a photo of this. Here's what you say to people. You say, "You know, as you know, we are Christians. And we have a custom where we pray before our meal. Many people in the world don't have food to eat. And we know that it's only by God's goodness that we have this food. So we would like to give thanks, if you don't mind." This is what you have to do, folks. This is what you have to do with people who are not used to this. People who have not grown up in church, people who are not believers, they, you can't just say, "Let's pray." They're going like, "Oh, what are you doing?" Like, "Oh, you just bowed your head," and they don't know what to do. So you have to explain it to people. "Hey, look, we're Christians and man, people don't have food in the world. We do. We have a job. We have money. So we would like to say thank you to God, if that's okay. They won't reject that. They may think you're weird, but they won't say, no, don't do that. So, what are you going to say? You're going to say something like this. You're going to say, Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provide all good things for us. We know we don't deserve your many blessings, and we thank you for taking care of all of our needs. Father, we thank you for our friends, John and Jane Doe, and that they could be in our home tonight. I ask that you would richly bless every area of their lives. Thank you for this wonderful food. Bless it to our bodies and bless our time together. And we know that you hear our prayers because we pray to you through Jesus Christ. I know that just to pray before a meal is probably very difficult for some of you. So memorize it. Write your own. Memorize it. It'll help you not be so afraid. You can, Lord, we have a little card. The third thing I want to encourage you, so pray beforehand. Ask God to work. Number two, pray over the meal. Pray over the meal. And you know what? You know why I want you to do that? Because listen, you're going to have somebody who's going to say, wow, that's very interesting. We've never had anybody pray over the meal before. It's going to give you an opportunity for conversation. Okay? Number three, don't get a babysitter. Don't get a babysitter. Don't send the kids to another room to watch a DVD. Have your kids there. Your kids need to see you doing ministry. Your kids need to be a part of that. Don't send the kids away. Include them into gospel ministry. How are they ever going to learn to be a witness for Christ if we send them to another room? Include the kids. Number four, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a box we check off. We want to continue to invest in people. Don't see this as a project, but as a human being with a soul who needs the gospel. Number five, it would be a good idea to memorize and meditate on the gospel beforehand in case someone should ask you for a reason for the hope that you have, 1 Peter, that you'll be able to say something. Something like that. Let me fix this. Still not going to work. It's really small. There's the gospel. If you want it, I'll send it to you on WhatsApp. That's the gospel. So that you can memorize this. Listen, I got to memorize this so that people, I can say something to them about Jesus Christ in Chinese. I'll send it to you. I've mentioned it many times before. What is the gospel? Jesus has called us to be His followers, and we are to be sent out. If we're called by Jesus to follow Him, then we are sent somewhere. We should go with the authority of Jesus Christ. We should go dependent on God for everything. You feel weak? You feel scared? That's exactly the way you're supposed to feel. You know why? We're dependent upon God. Go and use your home this summer for ministry. Use your home or the local cha zan tang or whatever it's called or dai pai dong for ministry.
Be thinking outward. Don't take a break.
Go knowing that some will receive you and some will reject you, but they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus if they reject Jesus. And by the way, someone may reject you initially, but they may go home and the Holy Spirit will work in their heart and they may come to Christ. Go proclaiming repentance of sin through Jesus Christ. The front door of your home is the side door of the church. This is normal gospel ministry. Every day, regularly, opening up our homes, opening up our village, and doing ministry. Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question, a couple of questions. Who are some people in your mind right now who don't know Christ, family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends, who you could invite and invest in this summer? Who is it that you know that's lost, needs to know Jesus, that you need to invest in this summer? Second question. How much have you prayed for the kingdom of God to come in your home? How much have you prayed for the kingdom of God to come in your village? How much have you prayed for the kingdom of God to come in your building? How much have you prayed for the kingdom of God to come in your workplace? What would it look like if the kingdom of God showed up in all of those areas? Last question. Are you willing to open up the front door of your home so that people can know Christ? Because really we have two options. We can either say like Moses, "Lord, send somebody else." Or we can say like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." Almighty God, Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know that we are fragile and we are scared. And we think most of the time about our own needs and not the needs of others. Oh Lord, would You empower us this summer at CBIBC? Would You empower us this summer to think outward for Your kingdom's sake and for Your great name's sake? Amen.